Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
To the extent you can predict a wildfire, they were predicted today, and they are happening across Colorado at the moment. There's a fast-moving wildfire that shut down westbound I-70 near Flagler, way out east. Kit Carson Sheriff is telling everybody who lives in West Flagler between County Road 1, east County Road 4, that they need to get out now. Firefighters in Grand County are monitoring this small fire along Highway 40. Some pre-evacuation notices to people in the area have been lifted. Fires also popped up in Pueblo County and Yuma today. Let's bring 9 News meteorologist Kathy Sabin, right? We knew that this was coming. We asked everybody to be on their best behavior around the state. We still got a couple of fire starts. And how long is the weather still an issue?
I think, Kyle, we're going to see the winds diminish or decrease somewhat after sunset. And right outside the studios here, not a lot of wind in Denver. But regardless, we remain under a weather impact alert for elevated fire danger. It's very windy west and south of downtown Denver. And that's where we have a particularly dangerous situation with humidity levels down to about 4%. That's just part of the story. Temperatures trending 25 degrees above average today in the 80s and 90s. And it's really windy up over elevated terrain. And as we see, the winds will diminish a little bit after sunset. Tomorrow will not be an entirely calm day. The winds return over the Continental Divide, gusts in excess of 50 and 60 miles per hour. So this fire weather warning, which will cancel out for Denver at midnight, may be reinstated for many areas again tomorrow. And the area highlighted in orange, a particular concern due to the tinder dry fuels and fire weather developing there. But relief is on the way in the form of this upper-level low near Salt Lake City. We're not going to see a lot of relief tonight, but cooler weather is coming. Temperatures in the 60s, along with a chance for showers starting Friday, and then right into Sunday and Monday, a good chance of rain with highs a whole lot cooler than we've seen today.
High gas prices impact some Coloradans differently than others. A Coloradan named Energy Secretary Chris Wright is in a bit of a dispute with his boss about gas prices, because Wright says the gas could be above $3 a gallon until next year. President Trump doesn't want to hear it. He says Wright's completely wrong. The gas prices will drop before the elections in November. Our Evan Krugel caught up with some non-famous Coloradans also impacted by gas prices.
Most Coloradans rely on fuel to get around, but the high prices at the pump are hitting some harder than others.
You know, it's scary, that's for sure.
Jeff Digby owns Voyager Express Trucking in North Denver, where every dollar at the pump gets multiplied, shipping products from the Midwest to the West Coast.
You don't know. It's very volatile, and it's one of the uncontrollables in the transportation business is fuel.
High prices are bad news for companies that rack up big miles, from semi-trucks to Sprinter vans.
We've got, over 100,000 on this one. I think the other van is coming up to that as well.
Michael Eimer owns Colorado Cannabis Tours, where the only thing higher than diesel prices are the tourists in the back of his van.
Oh, a full tank? We're not normally doing full tanks. We're topping up $150 to $200, probably around $175.
For him, high gas prices don't just hit the business. They hit the customer, too.
We can't raise prices on the consumers because the consumers are feeling it at the grocery store. They're feeling it at home with their rent.
And the farther you get from the city, the fewer options there are.
Yeah.
Nick Purchase runs the Valley Roots Food Hub, which helps move food between farms and tables in southern Colorado.
There is no other way to do it. There's not a train. There's we're not airdropping things from parachutes. We got to move it, you know.
Whether it's goods, people, or food, all roads lead back to the same problem, the cost to keep moving.
There's people in our own country and then around the world who are really going to suffer because of the repercussions of this war.
Truckers are very resilient, so they figure out ways to make it happen.
And we're all in it together, so, you know, just we got to bear through it together.
Now, according to AAA, the average price of diesel in Colorado is now just over $5. That's up more than $1.50 from a year ago. And businesses say the uncertainty here is making it really tough to budget for that year ahead.
Right, because they want to know, like, how long can they eat it,
right?
So then, but they don't know how long it's going
to
last.
Do you pass on those costs to consumers now? Mm-hmm. Do you try to wait? Mm-hmm. It's kind of up in the air. And you mentioned that feud between Wright and the president makes it even more unclear how long these prices will stay high.
All right, Evan, thank you.
You bet.
So it was not a software glitch that botched yet another emergency alert from the city of Denver. It was a human making one of those human errors. Somebody at Denver 911 did not set a target area for the emergency message on Saturday, the one that buzzed every phone in the city. It was just supposed to go to like a single block. Over the weekend, the first alert that came out from the city was actually successful. That one was targeted to people along Zuni Street between Florida and Mexico, warned them to stay where they were because of an active threat in the area. 30 minutes later, though, they tried to send another message to those same neighbors giving the all clear, but that went to everybody. They forgot to draw the little box on the map to rein it in. Denver's public safety director says they've been training on this, but there are still issues.
There's a lot of room to perhaps do more training, more scenario training, and then actually add in additional layers and approvals.
So we heard from some of you who said you got the alert even outside of Denver. All right, two possible reasons for that. Check the location services on your phone. They might not be turned on. Also, we know that some cell carriers will send the messages to an overbroad area because they're trying to protect themselves against liability. A coalition of Jewish groups is asking Colorado Republican leaders to reject MAGA podcaster Joe Altman's run for state party chair. Altman has called for the execution of Colorado's leaders, calling them a synagogue of Satan Jews.
They're demons. These are evil devils.
MAGA podcaster Joe Altman from Douglas County says Colorado's governor, attorney general, and secretary of state, who are all Jewish, should be tried for treason and executed.
The synagogue of Satan is a real thing. These are devils. These are demons.
Nine News has learned three Jewish organizations recently wrote a letter to Colorado Republican Central Committee members who will decide if Altman becomes the next state party chairman. The Anti-Defamation League Mountain States, Jewish Community Relations Council, and Colorado Jewish Action Alliance said Altman is putting lives at risk with his, quote, dangerous and repeated anti-Semitic rhetoric. The letter echoes similar concerns privately voiced by the same Jewish groups in a letter to the Colorado GOP in January. At the time, Altman was running for governor, a race he left to become the only prominent name running for Colorado GOP chair.
I'm going to sue you, all of you.
Altman is now threatening a lawsuit against the Jewish groups and calling them satanic.
That our state is literally rotted to the core right now because of pieces of like you. I won't apologize for it. I won't apologize for talking and speaking the truth.
In their letter to Colorado's Republican Party insiders, the Jewish groups said electing Altman would send an unmistakable message, writing that Colorado's Jewish community and all who value public safety, human dignity, and responsible leadership are watching closely.
Altman has applied his synagogue of Satan label to a variety of Jewish people, from a Republican district attorney on the Western Slope to a Democratic state senator in Aurora to a random online commenter who simply had a traditionally Jewish surname. An ethics committee at the state capitol is looking into a complaint against Democratic state representative Mandy Lindsay that she skimmed funds from the Democratic caucus. Democratic State Rep Bob Marshall claims that Lindsay misused caucus funds, saying that she wrote thousands of dollars worth of checks from the caucus bank account to herself on numerous occasions and misused the caucus debit card. If the House Ethics Committee finds probable cause, she could face punishment ranging from a reprimand to expulsion. We reached out to Lindsay for comment and have not heard back. Colorado's beautiful San Luis Valley has economic challenges, and one of them is a lack of childcare. 80% of the kids in the valley do not have access to licensed early care. It is a huge problem. But the community has been working on a huge solution. They're so close, and we can help. This week's Word of Thanks Microgiving campaign supports the Boys and Girls Clubs of the San Luis Valley. They are putting the finishing touches on an enormous early care and learning center. The community down there has already raised millions of dollars to make this happen, and they're so close to their fundraising goal and so close to finishing that building for the kids in their community.
This is going to be spectacular. It's going to be a licensed nonprofit daycare serving more than 150 kids. It'll be a workforce training hub for rural educators and for childhood caregivers. That's in partnership with the local college and school districts. And there will also be wraparound supports at the same place for families that are struggling with issues like hunger or trauma. This means that parents in the San Luis Valley who previously had to stay home with a kid will now be able to go to work or school, help the local economy, advance their careers, boost their family's economic fortunes. Kids will then enter kindergarten, better prepared to learn. This is also going to create jobs in a rural area that needs them badly. But more than anything, this means stability for families because they will finally have childcare that they can afford on a sliding tuition scale. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll send you that link to donate. You know, even $5 helps because a bunch of people are going to do this. And that's how you've raised $18 million since 2020. I'll never ask you to give a loan, so I'll match the first 50 donations of $5 to get us rolling, just like any other week. 7,500 of you have decided to set it and forget it, as Ron Popeil used to say. You make a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. Put in your info once, pick a donation amount. We automatically split it each month about everybody we feature. And that's going to add almost $40,000 to all five weekly campaigns in April. The A-Line is 10 years old today. We look back on when it was little and had a tough time being a train.
You think you can ask RTD voters for more money and they'll gladly give it to you?
I think we have a lot of trust to earn back.
A lot of trust before they reach into your pocket to fix the other issues going on with the train and bus agency. That's next. Is the A-Line working today? Yes! Happy birthday, train to the plane. The A-Line turns 10 today. Seems like just yesterday. It was a little bitty newborn train struggling to do train things while all of us were watching it too closely on a brand new television show at 6 p.m. Took a couple of years to work out the kinks on the show and on the train. Well, the good news for the train is like the character in the children's book, the little train never quit. It kept on chugging, and as of today, the A-Line has transported 59 million customers.
By all accounts, the A-Line continues to exceed expectations.
The A-Line did have a pretty good year in 2025. 90% on-time arrivals beats those years when the train was on the struggle bus for sure. The early days saw it repeatedly get stuck and strand passengers. This was May 2016. One of the times it lost power and got stranded on a 50-foot-high overpass. Passengers had to be evacuated on a catwalk, waving to the TV news cameras. Then there were the problems at the A-Line crossings. Remember that? The timing issues with the arms. So they had to put human flaggers out there to babysit the thing. Couldn't get approval for the longest to let the flaggers go away. And remember, the train had to blast its horns to let people know the A-Line was coming at all hours of day and night as people were trying to sleep in neighborhoods. Then in more recent years, the train itself got its poop in a group, but it still couldn't catch a break because copper thieves stole the wiring out of the signal crossings. And that added extra 15 to 30 minutes to the ride until that was repaired. But the A-Line is good now. It is RTD's entire budget that is busted. The board's been told that they may need to cut bus and rail service by 20% or more. Our Marshall Zellinger explains how one solution might be hidden inside your wallet. But I bet you could have guessed that.
The number of people getting on and off the A-Line is nowhere near enough to keep RTD's board from having to break the budget.
One-third of our budget goes to overhead and two-thirds goes to services.
RTD board chair Patrick O'Keefe celebrated the 10-year anniversary of the A-Line just after finding out RTD staff recommends $62 million in cuts, equal to 20% of RTD's service.
I know you can't do anything about the date, but is it responsible to be celebrating 10 years of the A-Line while talking about cuts across the board?
I can't tell you how much I would rather not be talking about cuts across the board than talking about the A-Line.
These are merely recommendations, and we're seeking guidance from all of you.
At a special meeting on Tuesday, RTD staff gave its recommendation to the board on how to close a $200 million deficit, which included $62 million in bus and rail service cuts.
I suspect many of our board members, maybe all of our board members, cannot support you know, a 20% reduction in service.
Karen Banker is the finance committee chair for RTD's board and listed a series of ideas to make or save money.
The possibility of increasing fares, passes, and parking fees. Furloughing employees one day a week as opposed to layoffs. We've also briefly talked about reducing driver overtime. A small fee on event ticket sales like sporting events.
Another idea to raise money to prevent service cuts: ask voters for more cash.
We need to refer a ballot measure.
We need to have a serious conversation about going to the ballot this year.
I do think we need to try and go for a ballot referendum this year.
There was disagreement over going to voters this year or 2028. Remember, RTD voters approved fast tracks in 2004, and residents of Boulder and Longmont are still waiting for their train.
I struggle to say this with a straight face. Yeah. You think you can ask RTD voters for more money and they'll gladly give it to you?
I think we have a lot of trust to earn back before we can go and ask for additional money.
For Next, I'm Marshall Zellinger.
RTD's board chair says their $800 million reserve looks more helpful than it is because it's not all cash. It's not like some Scrooge McDuck vault that you can dive into for gold coins. RTD is going to decide on cuts next month.
I looked at the buttons and it actually looked really awesome.
Yeah, it did. You want kids to pay attention to a lesson? Disguise it as a trash or a recycling truck. That's next. Kids love trash trucks. They love recycling trucks too. They just think that they're also trash trucks. One of the many lessons learned today, our Byron Reed was there.
All right, we're gonna take turns.
Kids love trucks.
Cause it's big.
For 6-year-old Bella Hall, this vehicle is part of a very unique lesson.
I think trash.
Hall is a student at Escalante Biggs Academy in Northeast Denver, where they're getting a firsthand lesson on sustainability through their Touch a Truck program.
All about garbage. Because we have to recycle, or else the animals could get hurt if they get stuck in the plastic.
There we go.
The visit is part of a broader effort to introduce sustainability concepts at an early age.
This is a way to build that into our curriculum in a fun and engaging way, and for them to just see how fun it can be and empower them to do things to make the world a better place.
Marta Rodenis is the school's principal. She says this program is part of their Earth Day initiative.
All week they're going to be learning just about different ways that they can take care of the earth. We'll be doing competitions where they keep their lights off. We go out and pick up garbage in the community.
Waste management leaders say starting these conversations now helps build habits that will last a lifetime.
They learn how to take care of themselves at a young age, so why not take care of the earth at this age too?
Beyond learning about the environment, safety was also a focus, especially around large trucks.
So we take this opportunity to teach the kids about the safety of our trucks and staying away from them and keeping themselves safe more than anything.
For Bella and her classmates, it was a chance to learn hands-on about taking care of their future from a garbage truck with a heart.
I looked at the buttons and it actually looked really awesome.
For Next.
And it's so, so fun.
I'm Byron Reed.
One of Next's most frequent critics is going to get trucked. His feedback is next. Your Word of Thanks microgiving campaigns have helped a bunch of small communities that do big, ambitious things. And this week's project is one of them. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to join me and a bunch of others in giving to the Boys and Girls Clubs of the San Luis Valley as they finish their fundraising to build a massive child care center that's going to serve that community where affordable child care is scarce. The community has raised nearly all the money needed, but we can help get this project done. It'll bring much-needed child care and jobs and stability to families there in the Valley. Feedback from Mark, a frequent critic of the program, calling me out for referencing a kid's book about a little train that didn't quit. Mark says it doesn't exist. He says, I love it when you screw up. Little engine that could. I think I can. Right, Mark?
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.